السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جمعة مباركة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله ونحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. In the name of Allah, who is the compassionate and the bestower of mercy, truly praises for Allah, and we praise Him and we seek His help and we seek His forgiveness. We put our trust in Him. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our own selves and our own wrong actions. And whoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whoever He leads astray has no one to guide him. And we bear witness that there is no deity but Allah, one without a partner. We bear witness that Muhammad is His worshipper and messenger. Blessings of Allah, peace be upon him and his family and his companions. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المبين يا أيها الذين آمنوا تقوا لله حق تقاته وتموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس تقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبثها منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء وتقوا لله الذي تسألون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Allah, praise to Him, Most High, said in His clear book, O you who have attained to faith, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die, save that as you are as Muslims. And O people, fear your Lord that created you from one self, and from it and made from the twain spread out a multitude of men and women. Fear Allah in your claim over one another and toward the wounds from which you have come. Truly Allah is a watcher over all of you. Alhamdulillahi. لَدِي جَعَلَ يَوْمَ الْجُمَعَةِ سَيَدْتِرِ عَيَّنَ مِي وَنَبُدُ وَنَسْتَعْنُ وَاللَّهَ إِيَّا وَهُوَ الَّذِي فَرَدَ صَلَاتِ الْجُمَعَةِ بِخَالِهِ فَاللَّهُ يَعِيُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُدِيَ لَسَّلَاتِ مَنْ يَوْمَ الْجُمَعَةِ فَسَوَى لَذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَهْرُ بَعِهِ. Praise be to Allah who made the day of congregation to be the best of days. We do not worship and we do not seek the aid of other than He who made the congregational worship obligatory for us as witness. In the saying of the Most High, O you who have attained to faith, if you hear the call to the Salah on the day of congregation, make haste to the remembrance of Allah and leave your trading. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqu Allah li salatin yawmal jum'ati salatu dhikri Allah wa dhabaihi mu'minun mukhlishina hum alladhina amanu wa ta'amanu qulubukum dhikri Allah wa dhikri Allah ta'amanu qulubukum. The sincere believers are those who have believed and rest in the remembrance of Allah, for truly in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find their rest. In the noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَذَرِي الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَعِبًا وَلَحَّوًا وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَذَكِّرْ بِهِ أَن تُبْصِرَ نَفْسٌ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ ليس لها من دنيا لله وها إلا الشافي وإن تديك الأدليل ويخادر منها فلاك الذين أبصروا بما كسبوا فهم شراب من حميم وعذب عليهم بما كانوا يكفرون. It says, and we leave behind those who take their religion as a game and vain idle talk, in whom the worldly life has deluded, and remind them by it that the Quran, lest the self be given up to destruction as a result of what is earned in this life other than Allah. One has neither protector nor intercessor, even though on the day of judgment the soul may offer every compensation for wrongdoing, yet it shall not be accepted. Those are they who are given up to destruction for what they have earned. A drink of boiling water and a painful punishment is waiting for them because they covered up the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in Surah Ar-Ra'da says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَدَّ الْأَرْضَ وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ وَأَنْهَارًا ومن كل ثمارتي أجعل في زوجها من يبشي الليل والنهار إن فضلك الآيات الخامنة يتفكرون. And it is he who spread out the earth and placed on the mountains firmly set and flowing streams and all the fruits he made pairs, and he causes the night to cover the day. Truly, and that are the signs of the people who reflect. In the science of Islam, as we've been trying to describe it in terms of the dynamic reality of Islam and systems, in the phenomena of reality of the expressions of the divine presence, it's been firmly established, I think, that every being that has the preparedness or the readiness to receive the fayat ilahi, the divine effusion, cannot be deprived of it when that preparedness, readiness exists and any other obstacles are absent. It would be like running in between raindrops on a heavy storm. You couldn't avoid getting wet. The only way you could avoid getting wet is to have an umbrella over you. And even then, that's questionable. As I can attest to the other day, I was perfectly dry in the heavy rainfall, walking through the rain, but when I put the umbrella in the car, I got soaking wet. We've all had that experience, right? Protect yourself in the rain and it gets soaking wet when you put the umbrella in the car. One can seek the benefit of the fayat ilahi, of the divine effusion, only when we know basically two things. First, we should have developed a level of belief, as we've been talking about. We should have convinced ourselves of a level of belief and faith free from doubt in the existence of that fayat. Now, I don't say we just believe it because it's said, but by the perceptions that we have been talking about, by seeing what is obvious to us, presented to us in Allah's creation, we have freed ourselves of the doubt of the existence of that fayat. And second, we should know that the very existence of this fayat ilahi in every human being will lead to the refinement and the perfection of that human being. And again, we can see in Allah's miraculous creation that this kind of cause-effect principle in the physical reality. And so this is, a transition point between the outer and the inner. For example, we know that if it rains, you're going to get wet if you're out in the rain. I mean, there's cause-effect reality. And so if we have established a way to accept this fayat, the effect will be a further refinement of our perceptions, of our being, of our character. And the knowledge of these two issues, or these two points, is not just something that you have the knowledge of and then you forget about, but it's essential that it's your active knowledge. It's because it's part of our preparedness for receiving that effusion. Again, I'll use the airplane analogy. You know, you can know that you have a checklist, and you can know it's a well-thought-out checklist, and just because you've done it 100 times doesn't mean you shouldn't do it the 101st time. It has to be an active part of your participation in flying. And every time you don't use it, you increase exponentially your chance of some problem. So if we can train ourselves to do things like a surgeon trains himself to do certain things in the procedures of being a surgeon, or a captain of a ship, or a pilot of an airplane, or countless other examples, we need to prepare ourselves also for this journey. That's why I like the analogy of the ship or the plane. If you want to arrive. Now, if we understand this preliminary information or fact, it could be stated that the seeker of perfection or refinement, after acquiring the skills of preparedness, which obviously comes from knowing that they exist and making the intention to acquire them, and then to test them and to make sure that they're active, is now obliged to remove what the obstacles are that might stand in the way of receiving this shower, this tajili, this fayat al-ilahi. And the biggest of these obstacles, perhaps, are the unnecessary engagements that direct our soul's attention toward other than Allah, and keeping it from attending fully to its real goal, our real goal. And these preoccupations pertain either to our external senses or the inner perceptual faculties of our lataif, or some of the vital faculties of our body, or the illusionary deceptions, thoughts, distractions, which is called in Arabic the afkari majazi, as opposed to the water that the hakik. And with regard to the outer senses, the preoccupation of the outer senses lies in not just an attraction, but a habituation and an infatuation with seeing attractive things, attractive forms, attractive shapes, and listening to the beautiful sounds and other objects of smell, taste, and touch, which many Muslims have taken, therefore, as things that are prohibited. Which, of course, is an extreme negative and defensive position. Rather, we have to learn to see that all these things are gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be used in a way to attune ourselves and to refine our perceptions. If we don't allow ourselves to ponder the beauty of nature because we're pondering something in the outer, A, there's no guarantee doing that would make you ponder anything of the inner. You'd still be treating, as many of the Muslims do, treat the Quran as if it's a thing, as opposed to a real stimulus for understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you didn't enjoy the taste of things, or the beauty of things, or the form of things, then the natural question is, why would Allah create them? We should say then they're created by shaitan. But rather they are reminders to us. They're ayat, they're signs. They're not to increase our fear, but to increase our perception and our confidence and our belief. And many, astaghfirullah, Muslims wander astray on this point. Because it's divesting oneself of personal responsibility, i.e. preparedness. We can't just take these things as distractions for everyone. If a person is prepared, to remove the distraction is to remove every element of those things that don't remind us of Allah. So consequently, one can engage in love of all the things created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in love of one another, intimacy with those things, intimacy with one another, if we understand what that relationship is ultimately designed for. And as to the inner perceptual faculties, the preoccupation in those lies in imagining forms and states that absorb our attention, can be imaginary things that are unreal. It can be power, karma. It can be, as Hazrat used to say, spiritualism. Exaggerations of happiness and delight, or exaggerations of grief and loss. You can imagine things are in order that are disordered. You can imagine things that are in disorder that really are only stimuli to bring order out of your own chaos, and to ask of each one of us more focus, more attention. It can be some memory of a past situation, or it can be absorption and fixation on some object of desire, like wealth or status. These can be some of the non-physical, inner but yet dunya aspect. And as to the essential faculties or capabilities and our preoccupation with them, they can be caused by grief or fear or jealousy or anger or shame or some feeling of entitlement, or the hope of overpowering some enemy, or avoiding something painful. And as to the illusory thoughts, preoccupation with them lies in reflecting on things that are just not significant, on devoting oneself to things that aren't beneficial, than on fixating oneself on one's things that are transitory, or preoccupations which keep one from completing your goal. These are all things that have to be removed so that we're prepared for that fight. It'd be the difference between going swimming in a bubble that keeps you dry, or going swimming. And so again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with opportunities, analogs, analogous situations to these subtle states. For example, if you are a person who is in Tariqa, you know about Khilwa, which is nominally retreat from the world and turning your attention only on Allah. But to understand that there is a walking Khilwa also. There is a state that one can attain, indeed a maqam, a station that one can attain of khilwa. And that would be avoiding of these obstacles. So a person seeking khilwa should try to be free of the inner and the outer sensory distractions and preoccupations, and to discipline their nafs, so that they don't divert him to, or her toward things which potentially are compatible with our perceptions, but prompt us to avoid that's not attuned to them or in resonance with them. So, such a person should refrain from, or should discipline their thoughts, or attain, with the goal of attaining things that are good for life, but at the same time, not to be absorbed in either attaining things for this world or even for the hereafter. Because the good things of this worldly life are ephemeral, transitory, and the good things of the hereafter should not be under the guise of attaining things for the hereafter that appeal to the ego. In other words, one develops trust in Allah. And so, as we move along and we try as Muslims to remove the outer obstacles and free our inner self from these preoccupations with anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should direct our attention, direct our care and our concern to being attentive. Watch over this, over the happenings of both the, what's obvious to us and in the Sawanhi Ghaibi, the unseen world. Being vigilant over our intuition. And this is called what? This is called tafakkur. Allah says of tafakkur, He says, أَوَلَّمْ يَتَفَكُّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. And now the proof of what I was saying earlier, مَا خَلَقَ لَهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْعَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَجَالِ مُسَامَ وَإِنَّا كَثِيرًا مِنَّا النَّاسِ بِلِكَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ لَكَافِرُونَ. Have they not reflected within themselves? Allah has not created the heavens and the earth and all that is between them, save by the truth, and for a determined time, and truly most people cover up the truth concerning the meeting with their Lord. Well, there's so much double entendre in this reading, because it's telling you, here's the proof. The proof is that Allah has created this world, so why would He be telling us not to look at it, not to engage in it, right? Why would that be told to us? And at the same time, he switches the meaning and says, and truly most of the people cover the truth concerning the meeting with their Lord. That means, what meeting with their Lord? Not later, now. We don't see what's in front of us. We can be meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every minute by looking at the creation. By engaging in what has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By looking at ourself and our capacities to reflect upon things. Not to make judgments about looking at the beauty of the world, seeing the magnificence of the world, listening to the music of the sounds of the world, listening to the sounds of the birds, listening to the voice of the human being. That's all so superficial. It is to hear, to see, to listen, to all these things, but in the right state of mind. And although many meanings have been ascribed to the term tafakkur, the essence is that contemplation is an inner journey for humanity from the mabadi to the maqasid, from the preparatory, preliminary to the goal, maqasid. And the same attitude is ascribed in the term nazar by the scholars. Hazari, nazari, my, huh? None can make the transition from being unprepared or deficiency or incompleteness to perfection without undertaking this journey. And so it has been said that the most essential obligation is contemplation and reflection and thought. And this is the quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to His human creation. The instances of encouragement given to contemplation in Quranic revelation are really, you know, countless. For example, what I told you, you know, earlier, Ula Madila Adwa Jala Fiha Rawasi Uranhar. Wamin Kulya Tanarati Jaala Fiha Zao Jani Tanaini we yug shilain and nahar. Inna fidalik wa ayati al khamniyata fakarun. See. Truly in the signs are for people who reflect. After he describes to us, the mountains are firmly set and the streams are flowing and the fruits he has made pears and he causes the night to cover the day. Why? These are for people who make tafakkur, who reflect. This is the process of divesting ourselves of the distractions and all the lists of things I gave, but not divesting ourselves of the opportunity to look at them another way. This is, of course, a classic problem with monasticism. And why in Islam there is no monkery, quote. Because if you try to divest yourself of everything of the world, except you sit in a cave, you can only get so far. You never really learn to appreciate the ayatullah. Now, that's not to say some people haven't achieved high states of awareness and realization with that. But even when you find that among the monks in Hinduism or Buddhism or Christianity, they're either... The only time, the Trappist monks, the only time they're speaking is through their voices and chanting and recitation. So, there's voice in their sound and they're not divesting themselves of that. Or the Tibetans are doing rituals, or the Hindus are doing rituals, or you understand, even if they set themselves against the world. So there's no teaching among any people to say not to engage in the world in some way. For Muslims, we try to engage fully in it, but reflectively, seeing that divine presence there. I mean, that's what we're enjoined to do. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in a hadith to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, an hour's contemplation is better than 70 years of worship. So this is the value of tafakkur. So we should know that the starting point from where this journey should commence is exactly where you start, and I start, and we all start when we prepare ourselves by awareness of the lataif, when we have repented, when we've repented, done the station of repentance, where do we start? Where do we start in this expanding journey, in this cycle, in this spiral of openness until we come to the point of inner awareness and perfection? Where do we start? Sanurhim ayatina fil afaki. وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيْنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّنَا لَحَقٍ. In the affirmation, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِي بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٌ. We shall show them our signs on the horizons and in themselves until it becomes clear to them that this message is the truth. Until. Is it not enough that your Lord is watching over all things? But Allah finishes that whole surah by saying this, the truth to us. Allah innahum fi mirayatim mil ilikai rabbihim. Allah innahum bi kulli shayin muhit. Without a doubt, they are in doubt concerning the meeting with their Lord. Without a doubt, they are in doubt about concerning their meeting with their Lord. Hence, we become distracted by other things. Without a doubt, He encompasses all things. So as to the signs on the horizons, which many of you have sat in for months, in number of orders, they pertain to the knowledge of all the existence apart from Allah as they really are, and the wisdom in each being, perceivable in accordance with the human capacity, such as disclosed by science, and astronomy, and the study of the heavens and the stars and the motions and the configurations of all of them, and the measurements and the dimensions of the bodies and the properties of all these things, and the science of the lower world and the dunya, and the composition of the elements and respect to the form and to the quality of things, and the formation and dispositions of the minerals and the plants and the animal constitutions, and the formations of the celestial and terrestrial spirits, and the sources of the motion of each of them that occurs in them and caused by them and in relationship to each other, and those things that are consonant and those things that are contrary and opposites, as well as the specific common properties that they share and the relevant sciences of numbers and quantities that pertains to everything. That's what the signs on the horizons encompasses. Pesir afat. And only when you really fully realize that, then can you understand what exists pesir anfus in this world. As to the signs within the soul, they pertain to the sciences of the bodies and the souls known through the study of our bodies, our tissues, our bones, our muscles, our nerves, our veins, our systems, what benefits them, the organs and how they interact with each other, and their main and all the things that serve those organs, and all the ways those organs exist, the food chain and the air and the water and all the miracles that you see in the world as they pertain to your own life, and make a link between all the things of this world and the way you have this world inside yourself, and I do, and the members of our body, and the study of our consciousness and our faculties and the actions of each one of those faculties, not just health and disease, but the science of the soul, the science of character, the science of actions, the science of mutual actions between individuals, the deficiencies and the strengths of individuals, our perfection and our imperfections, and the factors responsible for our worldly communications and our miscommunications, and our otherworldly desires, and our sins, and our goodness, good actions. These constitute the preliminaries of the journey of tafakkur. That's why you start with that in the circle. And it's not that you have to understand everything intellectually about it, but you have to be prepared to receive the message, the tajalli bar to Allah. And that's why we end the fourth circle with tajalli bar. And the destination and the goal of this journey is well known. It's ultimately the degree of perfection that a human being can attain to in the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are things worth contemplating, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم انصرنا في نك خير الناصرين واصلنا في نك خير الفاتحين واغفر لنا في نك خير الغافرين وارحمنا في نك خير الراحمين وارزقنا في نك خير الرازقين واهدنا ناجنا من الخام الظالمين وهب لنا ريحان طيبة كما هي في علمك وانشرنا علينا من خزائنه رحمتك وملنا بها حملا وكرماتي مسلماتي وعافياتي في الدين والدنيا والآخرة إنك كل شيء قدير. O Allah, succor us, for you are the best to aid, and open us, for you are the best at opening, and forgive us, for you are the best at forgiving, and have mercy upon us, for you are the merciful, and provide for us, for you are the best of providers, and guide us and deliver us from the hands of the oppressors. Grant us a fair wind in accord with your knowledge, and waft it upon us from the treasures of your mercy. Transport us by the conveyance of your generosity with peace and well-being in our spiritual life, and in our worldly life, and in the final life, and truly you have power over all things. Allahumma yasir lana umrana ma'arahati l'kulubana wa'abadana wa salamati وعافياتي في الدنيا فدنيانا وديننا ونسألك إيمانا دائما ونسألك قلبا كاشيا ونسألك علما نافيا ونسألك دينا كاميا ونسألك العافيات من كل بلايا ونسألك تأمنا إلى عافيتي ونسألك دعوة من إلى عافية ونسألك شكرا على عافية إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم وبشرنا يوم القيامة بين أولياءك واجعل يدك مبسوطة علينا وأهلنا ومماننا برحمتك وكن لنا صاحبا في سفرنا وكلفات في أهلنا وتمس على وجه أدنى وامسحهم على مكاناتهم فلا يستأذن إلا مدي ومجي علينا يا نعم المجيب Ya Nima Limujib, Ya Nima Limujib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the one who makes order for us and gives us beneficence and gives us opportunity. We beseech you for a religion that is straight and an understanding and free from afflictions. And we ask you, Allah, to open for us your light upon our families and our children and those who are with us, and to be our companion in our travels and guardian in our family, and to face the faces of the enemies and freeze them against their places. O Allah, among us there are those who are ill and need your shifat, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله من أمره ونستعنه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى مكاتب المقربين وأولياء الله صالحين والمجاهدين فاهدين برحمتك ورحمن الرحيمين قول الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المبين إن لله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا الله عليه وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد اللهم ورد وأسرات الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر والصديق والعمر والفاروق والعثمان النورين وعلى سيدنا الإمام علي كرم لله وجه ورد اللهم عن سيدنا الحسن وسيدنا الحسين وعن أمهما سيداتي فاطمة وزهرة وعن آل بيت الكرام and ajwaji nabiyatika wa tahirati umahati al-muhminin wa nasahabati al-salihin wa tabi'in wa tabi'ihim wa ibadi illahi muklisin bi islamin wa imamin wa ihsanin ila yawmidin ibadullah inna allaha yamuru bi adli wa lihsani wa ta'ai dhi kurba wa inyana nafashai wa mukhari wa bagi ya idhikum yalakun tadakirun wa dhikrullahi akbar wa akim as-salah.